I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Jim Larrañaga, longtime coach for the University of Miami men's basketball team, and he joins us Wednesdays to talk hoops. By the way, and we'll talk about this in a minute, there's a cool basketball doubleheader Monday night in Coral Gables. The women's team hosts Hofstra at 5 at the Watsco Center, and then the men's team takes the court at 8. I think it's Jacksonville. It's Jacksonville. Jacksonville. So doubleheader, little college basketball doubleheader Monday at the Watsco Center. But I want to start here, Coach, with Victor Wembanyama. I think you heard us in the last segment. What we're seeing from him is staggering at the beginning of this season. If that guy stays healthy, he will be the runaway MVP. So how, if you were tasked with stopping him one night, two nights, three nights, who knows how many nights you're coaching against him, how do you mitigate the damage that Victor Wembanyama can do to an opposing team?
Well, first of all, I coached a player who reminds me of Victor Wembanyama. Wemby is 7'4", not 7'6",
I think he's
235. And I coached Ralph Sampson the University of Virginia, who was 7'4". I coached him for 4 years. He went from 195 to 230 during the course of his 4 years in college. And the only way people had any success against Ralph, because he could control the game at both ends, his scoring and passing at one end, and his defense and block shot and rebounding at the other end. And Wemby's doing the same thing. His shot blocking and rebounding is at such a high level. But the only success people had was in double teaming Ralph or being very, very physical and having multiple guys bang him. So one guy getting foul trouble, they'd bring somebody else in to be very physical. And they'd use, like, I don't know, 10, 12, 14 fouls to keep Ralph frustrated and try to keep the ball out of his hands. But you're not stopping Wemby in the NBA. Those referees are going to be protecting that joker. He's their meal ticket for the next 10 years. The guy is sensational. He's a walking triple-double. He can impact the game in so many different ways. Kind of like Kevin Durant, who I got to go back to what you guys were talking about.
Please.
Because Crowder, I'm on your side.
No! Hey,
stop it, Coach. Hey.
Okay. You know, I can't make Fred Taylor mad. He's like 6'1", 230. He kicked my – but listen, you know, you can be a fan of somebody, but to ask him for his autograph, were you on the air? Were you on the air? Was it during the podcast of The Pivot?
Yes, Coach, we were on video, and he walks in, and we always just give everybody dap and say thank you for, you know, showing up. Hey, I have this card. Can you sign it, please?
He didn't say it like that. Stop making him sound like he's
weak and sad.
So you guys all know Dick Vitale, sure. Hall of Famer and everything. My wife and I, with him and Lorraine, his wife, and we're going to the Tampa Bay Rays game. And Dick Vitale taught me something that night. We're walking together. As soon as he got out of his car, he was approached for an autograph and then a picture and then another two steps, another autograph, another picture. For the next 20 minutes from the parking lot to the stadium, he must have taken 25, 30, 40 pictures and signed that many autographs. He did not turn down a single person. And I've always – now, I'm not in Dick Vitale's category or Kevin Durant's, but I've never turned down a picture or an autograph. But I'm not asking for autographs.
But that's
come on,
a great
these guys.
Hey, no, because Coach has seen the other side of it.
No,
and he doesn't want to do that to another man.
And Crowder, I gotta say this. I'm not 100% certain, but I don't think either one of them played Solana or Hawk ever played at a high level of athletics.
Wow.
So are you including video games?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you good at video games? Are you the master so that people are asking you for your autograph all the time?
Actually, I'm not.
Come on.
Actually, I'm not. There's nothing I do very well, to be quite honest.
So I'm with Hawk. I'm with Wemby. He's a handful. And I will say this. The Heat are off to a great start. You know, beating the Hornets last night, you know, scoring 144 points is totally irrelevant because – right now, the Hornets are in a rebuilding stage. They have been for 20 years. But the Heat are off to a good start at 3-1. They lost their first game, but they've won 3 in a row. Now they got to go on the road, and the four teams they're playing on the road are going to be a handful. And Solana, if you want to pick them to get to the finals and win it all, just take a look at these next four road games, and that'll give you a good indication if they can not only be in the playoffs, but advance in the playoffs and get to the championship series. I'd love to see him do it. You know that.
Yes, sir. And, Coach, how hard was it for Spo, not mentally, but just, you know, coaching-wise? I've never seen the Heat. I've been out here 20 years. I've never seen the Heat play this fast pace of basketball. They had great players. The half court says the drag them in the mud thought. Like, for this transition, it's fun as hell to watch, Coach. But how hard is it to change your entire coaching style to playing where they're shooting with 18 seconds left on the shot clock?
Yeah, that I talked to Pat Riley just before the regular season began. And we were talking, it was right after they had played the Milwaukee Bucks. And we were just talking about the speed of the game and what Spo's vision was for this team. And the whole key to being able to play fast is you got to be able to play fast at both ends. Because every time you score early, the other team gets the ball back and they can run it right back at you. Mm-hmm. And if they're playing fast with you and you have more possessions than you normally do, and your objective is not to score 100, but to score 125, 140, and you're taking, you know, 30, 40, 50 threes in a game, you know, that's the recipe for success and disaster at the same time, because you'll have nights where you're shooting lights out and you make, you know, 40, 50% of your threes, and then there'll be nights where you only make 15, 18% and you get beat by 20.
Coach, take me into the mind of Eric Spoelstra or just you or another head coach of a basketball program, somebody who's been there a long time though, right? Somebody who's established within an organization or a program like yourself. The Heat over the past decade have been known as a gritty team, right? Post-LeBron, a gritty team. They don't have the most talent, and they're going to do it defensively, hardest working, toughest, best condition. That's always been their mantra. And out of nowhere this year, Eric Spoelstra doesn't just say, hey, we're going to play with more pace like every other coach, but they're committed to doing it. They're doing it better than anybody right now. What has to click for him to not only say, hey, we're going to approach offense different, but we're going to change our entire the fundamental basis of the Heat organization, and we're going to play this way now over the span of 4 months. What goes through his head where he says, we're doing this now?
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, he obviously made a decision long before the preseason. He and his staff sat down. They looked at their personnel. It's what a coach does. If you look around the league, it's a copycat league. You watch certain teams, you know, back in the 80s, it was the Twin Towers with Ralph Sampson and Hakeem Olajuwon. You had big teams like with Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, and Robert Parrish. You had the Showtime Lakers, where everybody wanted to play like the Lakers, fast, Showtime, run and gun, dunking the ball. And so the idea that you can can play that way with your personnel. It has to be decided long before the season, evaluating, can Bam play this way? Who is the kind of point guard that can run our team to help us play this way? And you look at your roster from top to bottom, and Spo and his staff said, we can play fast. Let's increase the tempo, allow a lot of guys to handle the ball. You see how many guys bring the ball up? There's not really a true point guard. You know, it used to be, okay, Magic Johnson catches every outlet pass. John Stockton, every outlet pass. And now you have teams, you know, OKC, there are a lot of guys who can handle the ball. The Celtics, when they won it, you know, you had a Jason Tatum bringing the ball up. So it's a copycat league, and people are saying, hey, get into the open court, make things happen early in the shot clock.
So are you buying the Miami Heat after four games, or you got to see more?
Well, it's four games.
But you get a vibe. You're a coach. It's like, you kind of know what you have.
You go to the movies.
Games.
I love the movies. After 5 minutes, I don't decide whether I hate it or love it.
Oh, I do.
I got to watch more than that.
Have you seen the Springsteen movie, by the way?
You saw Superman and liked Superman.
Great movie.
And you told me, hey, you got to go see Superman.
That was a great movie.
The movie stunk.
That was a great movie.
I could have left that movie after 5 minutes. You know that.
What'd you get on Wordle today? Because I got three.
You got three on Wordle?
I got three on Wordle today. Yeah, today was a good performance.
Yeah, I got two on Wordle.
No, you didn't.
No, I haven't done Wordle today. I wanted to hear what you got and know what I had to beat. Okay. But the point is, Hawk.
So you don't have you cannot make any kind of judgment call on this team and this roster and this style of play till you see it.
Not only the style of play, but the style of play against the best teams. The road trip is against some of the best teams. Now you can start to evaluate. If you beat someone by 30, right, you don't all of a sudden, all right, we're great. Well, you're not going to beat the best teams by 30. You're lucky to beat them by a point or two. You're lucky if you make a game-winning shot or a game-winning stop. No, you can't judge this early. And it's great that they're off to a good start with this new style, because the more they win, the more the players will believe, yes, this is the way we want to play. The more fun they have, the more they feel like, hey, we're really well connected. Bam loves this style, right? He's handling the ball more. He's getting more assists, more rebounds. We're getting more fast break opportunities, more dunks. You know, all of that. You guys were raving about Jaime. He's coming in off the bench and getting 20. You know, when your bench can play that style. And I know as the head coach of three different Division I schools, I was changing my style every year or two. I loved when we could repeat the style the next season because our recruits were able to replace the guys who graduated and left. But when you have a whole new crew of guys, you've got to adapt your style. I think that's one of the key ingredients to being a great NBA coach. You know, Pat Riley, when he was with the Lakers, was one style. He went to the Knicks. They were beating people up. They were the most physical team in the league. And then when he got D-Wade and Shaq, they won it all. That was one style. And then he passed the torch to Spo, and he's got LeBron and D-Wade and Chris Bosh. That's a whole new style. And now Spo, he's an architect. He's a sculptor. He's got different players, a different block of granite to work with. And he's going to carve some overused granite to carve away the obstacles that he has and create, you know, a Mona Lisa. Although that was a painting, not a sculpture, by the
real,
way.
We got the idea. And you're speaking to a very uncultured group, so we didn't know. But real quick, because you talk about having different rosters and we're going to run out of time, but I did mention the Hurricanes basketball team, they opened their first season under Jay Lucas this coming Monday at the Watsco Center hosting Jacksonville. It is that doubleheader. Women's team plays at 5 against Hofstra, and then the men's team plays at 8 p.m. against Jacksonville. Do you know what to expect from this year's Canes team?
Well, I've watched them practice. I think Jay Lucas is going to do a fantastic job. He's young. He's energetic. He's very forceful. He's got a very clear vision. With the roster that he has, they are physical, man. They will defend. They will rebound. They'll probably be in a little bit of foul trouble some nights, depending on the officiating. At the offensive end, they're going to want to get into the open court because they have some terrific athletes. I think the question for them, and you will not know this early in the season, you probably won't know until mid-January, is to how well they can score the ball at the offensive end against ACC caliber teams. Because I think in terms of offense, in terms of three-point shooting and free throw shooting, that's not going to be their strength at the offensive end. Their strength at the offense at the end is going to be scoring in the paint. You know, offensive rebound scores, fast break layup scores, dunks scores, penetrate, kick it out for three. Yeah, but then that's not going to be the formula for success.
And I see you're wearing your University of Miami blazer right now, or your pullover right now. How many games into the season until you call Jay Lucas and give him some hints?
Never. You know. Yeah. After I call Jay, I'll call Spo. I'll call Pat Riley. You know, come on. One of the things I know about coaches, the last thing they need is another voice in their ear giving advice. It's one of the problems coaches have where there's too many voices in their players' ears telling them what they should do. Oh, you got to shoot more. Oh, you got to drive more. You got to shoot more threes. All right? I mean, if you can quiet the noise, you're in much better shape than if you're getting a lot of advice.
So he ain't calling Coach Lucas. He's letting him do his thing. It's Halloween on Friday. You famously told us a couple Halloweens ago that you were giving away mini basketballs instead of candy.
No, full-size basketballs.
Full-size basketballs?
Full-size Wilsons.
What are you giving away Friday night at the Larranaga household?
Oh, I got to tell you, this is the best of all time. My wife and I will be in Dallas, Texas. My wife didn't even have to buy any candy.
You saved
didn't
a lot
have
of
to
money.
Pump up any basketballs. We will be dining in Dallas with our football program, cheering them on against SMU on Saturday.
All right, very cool. Coach Larranaga, he joins us every Wednesday on the program. Thank you, Coach. Safe travels.
Thanks, guys.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.